get your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be taking a look at a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and kind of launching out from that spot. And tonight what we're talking about, if you're taking notes and maybe you want to write this down, is that we're talking about going the distance with God. Talking about going the distance with God. And I believe that tonight as we read the Word and as we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and find out what it is that we're talking about, that you're going to really understand what it means tonight by the time you leave this place to go the distance with God. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse number 36, it says this word, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And those words, those first few words of that verse just popped out at me. For you have need of endurance. If ever there was a time in our life that we had need of something, it's right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. Times are tough. Times are hard. I get the prayer requests every week and I see people needing jobs. I see people who need healing from cancer. I see people who have children that have brain tumors. People that are needing provision for their bills. All sorts of stuff comes across my desk. And there's something that we have need of, the Bible tells us. We have need of endurance. What does that mean? We have a need to go the distance with God. You don't fail because you fall. You don't fail because you make a mistake. You fail because you stop going with God. And in the church today, you know, I would say maybe we've gotten soft. Maybe we are kind of in this woe is me attitude, but you know, I hear a lot of people complaining about a lot of things. All you have to do is turn on the television these days to find something to complain about. You can flip the channels and see the degradation of our society. You can see the problems that are going on. You can see the horrendous things that people are doing to each other. You can see the decisions that our leaders are making, and you could really get into a very good pity party about it. But you know what? Times are tough right now, yes, but times have always been tough. The devil has always been around. There's always been problems. And the people of God have need of something. And what we have need of is endurance. Endurance is a key factor in deciding whether or not we will accomplish the will of God, as the verse says, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, there's a point to go to. A lot of times, I know even myself, I'm guilty of doing this as well. We want the promise. We want it now. I want it my way. God, if I don't get it in 30 minutes or less, you haven't answered my prayers and something has gone wrong. When there's not something wrong with the word, there's something wrong with me. And what is that? I have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God. See, we don't like to hear that. We like to hear that I'm going to get it right away. I'm going to get it right now. Express delivery, no shipping charges. I want it free. I want it fast. I want it my way. And yet the Bible tells us that there's something that has to take place after we have done the will of God. We need to endure. You know, the usefulness of a postage stamp is the fact that it can stick to one thing until it gets to its destination. Let that simmer for a while. You get it. Some of the great men and women of God that have gone before us, the thing that made them rise above the others was not the fact that they were incredibly talented or gifted. Not the fact that they could preach better than anybody else, but the fact that they stayed in there longer and outlasted others and stuck around and did the will of God. One of my heroes in U.S. history is Abraham Lincoln. But if you look at Abraham Lincoln's record, you would think, man, why did this guy end up being the president? Let me read to you Abraham Lincoln's record. Age 22, failed in business. Age 23, ran for legislature, defeated. Age 24, again failed in business. Age 25, elected to legislature. Hey, that's good. That's cool. Age 26, his sweetheart dies. Age 27, has a nervous breakdown. Age 29, defeated for Speaker of the House. Age 31, defeated for elector. Age 34, defeated for Congress. Age 37, elected to Congress. That's two out of how many have I read so far? Age 39, defeated for Congress. Age 46, defeated for Senate. Age 47, defeated for vice president. Age 49, defeated for Senate. Don't you think this guy would get a clue after a little while? But what made the difference was not the fact that he was defeated so many times, but what made him rise above the rest, I believe, is the fact that he stuck in there because at age 51, he was elected president of the United States of America. And it was that attitude that he had, that stick-to-itive attitude, that he stayed in there and was able to be the great man that he was during a horrendous time of our nation's history. I also came across something, I don't know how true it is, but it says it's from the diary of John Wesley. And it says this: Sunday a.m. May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May 5th, preached in St. John's, deacon said get out and stay out. Sunday a.m. May 12th, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m. May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's, deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m. May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m. May 26th, preached in the meadow, chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m. June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Now, he could have got discouraged. He could have stopped. He could have quit. He could have said, nobody wants to listen to me. But Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear the word of God. What made the difference was this attitude. See, that word endurance, if you really look at what it means, you break it down into two parts. It means to stay under. To stay under something long enough. Yeah, there's pressures. Yeah, there's trials. Yeah, there's temptation. There's a torrent coming against us. The church is being buffeted, not only by natural things, but also by spiritual things. I mean, it's hard enough that we've got the natural things to deal with, but then you add a spiritual element on it, and it's amazing that anybody can do anything. And yet the Bible tells us that if we can stand up under that pressure and actively resist and endure, that after we've done the will of God, that we receive the promise. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the guy that at the end of it all, I'm the one that's still standing, and I'm the one who has the promise of God in my hand, and I don't have it for any other reason than the fact that I didn't give up, I didn't let go, and I didn't quit on God. Tonight, three simple things. This is a simple message, but if you're going to go the distance with God, you need some things in your life. Couple of things that I'm going to tell you, some practical things that we can do, some spiritual things that we can do. If you're going the distance with God, you need to, number one, here we go, remove hindrances. Remove hindrances. How many of you guys have ever tried walking into your house after you've gone grocery shopping? And it's like not just the regular grocery shopping where you're picking up a couple of things. I mean, you just had to buy everything, you know, condiments, and you had to buy cleaners, you had to buy all toothpaste, toothbrush. I mean, you just ran out of everything all at one time, and then you decided that Costco would be the place to go instead of the regular store. So now you've got like boxes and stuff. You got all this stuff, and you're trying to do a simple task, like walk from the back of your car to your kitchen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one that has a struggle and a fight of faith just to get through that back door? I mean, God forbid the door should be shut far enough to where it actually clicks in and you have to turn the handle while you're carrying and juggling all this stuff. I've been known to like lean up against the wall and like push a box up against, you know, my rib cage into the wall and then try and turn it and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I tell you, I thank God for the day that my daughter was old enough to hold the door open for me, because that opened up a whole new realm of things that I could do. But that simple task of walking from the back of my car to my kitchen was made a whole lot harder. Why? Because I had all this weight. I had all this stuff that I was trying to carry. I had these different things that were hindering me. Maybe I had to walk in sideways because I was carrying things too wide. Whereas normally I could just walk in straight through. Not a problem. See, if you're going to go the distance with God, there are hindrances in your life that are going to stop you from continuing on with the will of God, what God would have you to do. Some of them are simple things. Some of them are things that maybe are a little bit harder for us to see. Hindrances could be a lot of things. Could be sins that we've allowed into our lives for years. And we've shied away at them, or we've said, you know what, that's just my thing that I deal with. That's just something that, you know, has always been and it always will be. I can't get over that. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells you, you're there in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. That we are to do something with sin and we are to do something with hindrances. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar verse. Hebrews 12, 1 says this. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. There's that endurance once again. The race that is set before us. Now, you know if you've ever tried to run in a three-legged race what it's like trying to run at full pace. A lot of times you end up on your face in the grass trying to run a three-legged race. Why? Because now you're ensnared. There's something that is tying you to something else that is not operating the way that you want to operate. It's not in sync any longer. And so anytime that you're yoked up with sin, anytime that you're tied up to something that is not in sync with the Word of God and the will of God, you are going to have some problems and you're going to end up on your face. Am I talking to anybody tonight? No, I'm talking to myself. But if you're going to go with the distance, if you're going to go the distance with God, you need to remove those hindrances. Do what it takes to get rid of the sinful things. Simple things that you can do. I know men, we struggle visually with a lot of things. Put filters on your computer. Put the V-chip. Get the parental controls on your television. Go the extra mile. Have your wife have the passwords to things that you know could be potentially dangerous for your eyes. If you know that if you're going to go to the coffee pot at work at a certain hour and there's going to be people gossiping and telling crude jokes, then can I suggest something? Take your break another time or another place. What are you doing? You're removing the hindrances. You're removing the weights, because where you could have been in faith, running the race that God had marked out for you, now you've gotten distracted, you've gotten tied up with something, there's a weight that's on you, and now a simple task of getting from point A to point B has become something that you're hindered, you're weighed down with, and you can't do it. We've got to lay aside those hindrances. Hindrance could also be attachments to a certain idea or a certain way we've been raised, or something that maybe our mind hasn't been renewed to the way the Word of God has set out for us. That's why it's so important. You know, I tell our young adults in Shift all the time that the simple things of God, like prayer, Bible study, going to church, are the things that are going to take you into the deep things of God. But if you can't get those basic ABCs down, what makes you think you're going to get to the destination where you want to be at? We've got to get those things down and get our minds renewed to what the Word of God has for us. And so if you have something that is an attachment, whether it's mentally or whether it's emotionally, spiritually, get into the Word of God and get your mind renewed on that subject. Maybe it's anger issues. The Bible speaks of anger issues. Maybe it's lust issues. The Bible speaks of lust issues. Maybe it's you are tied to financial things and fortune and your image and what people think of you. The Bible speaks of that security issue. Whatever your issue is, you need to have your mind renewed to the Word of God. Another one is people. Do you know that certain people in your life, the Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character? I like what Galatians 5:7 says, going with our endurance and our going the distance with God. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There was a who that the Galatian churches were attached to that hindered them from running the race that God had set out for them. In the same way, you and I have people in our lives that maybe we need to back off from. We need to take inventory of our lives. Doesn't mean that you completely cut them off unless they are straight out sinful. But you know what? There are certain people that we don't need to be yoked up with. Because the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? See, it's not a fellowship any longer. Now it's a mission where you're shining your light, but you're not attaching yourself to them. That's why it's very important, especially in dating relationships and romantic relationships, that Christians are not doing this missional dating thing. Well, I'm dating them and I'm bringing them to church. Hopefully they get saved and then we can get married afterwards. Listen, that's asking for trouble. Because some pretty little thing comes your way, guys, starts waving stuff in your face, you're going to forget about what the Word of God says. And that is a weight and that is an attachment that's going to bring you down. Same thing, ladies, if you're looking for a man to provide and he is not a born-again Christian, you better look somewhere else. Because all you're looking for then is trouble. Amen. Preach it, Pastor. Good stuff. Sorry, it got a little quiet in here. Going the distance with God. If you're going to go the distance with God, you need to remove hindrances. Remove those weights. Remove that excess stuff that you don't need. You need to be ready to run the race that God has for you. To go the distance with God. Second thing tonight, after you remove those hindrances, is prepare for greater challenges. Prepare for greater challenges. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an illustration from my personal life. When I first got saved, I was 15 years old. At 15 years old, my faith and what I was believing God for was the twos, I wanted to bring more people to church, I wanted to, you know, be able to save up some money and things like that. That was where my faith level was at. As I grew and as I started to get out on my own, I started believing God for, you know, a car and transportation. And I started going to college. I started believing God for college and started believing God to do some different things in my life. As I continued to grow and I met my wife, Jessica, all of a sudden now I'm believing God for my wife. Then we went off to Bible college together. Now we're believing God for bills. We're believing God for rent every month. We're believing God that we're able to pay our bills and also continue to focus on school. We came back and we bought our first home. And we started the young adults ministry. Now I'm not believing God for the ones and twos to bring to church. Now I'm believing God for the hundreds to come to church each and every Friday night. Starting to believe God for this church that we're talking about. Starting to pray for bigger things. Now my faith is not in the ones and twos. My faith is not in the tens and twenties. My faith is not in the hundreds anymore. My faith is growing. I'm preparing myself, what, for greater challenges. Going to the thousands and eventually onto the tens of thousands. There was a time where if you told me something cost $100, my jaw would have dropped to the floor. I said, man, that's going to take me. And I would have calculated the number of hours that it was going to take me to raise that money. Now my faith is in another place. What am I saying, that I'm so great? No, what I'm saying is that gradually, over 15 years, God has brought me to the place where I can see greater challenges ahead, but they're not as devastating as when we were in the little stuff. Just like weight training. You know, when you first start out weight training, if you've never done any sort of weight training or endurance training, that first time you work out, man, whew, first day you might be all right, but the second day you're like wobbling, you know, you're shaking, you feel sick, you feel like you're going to throw up. Why? Because you haven't used those muscles before. A lot of times people get saved and they say, Pastor Dan, I got saved, everything was great, and then I don't know what happened, but it seems like everything went wrong all at once. Anybody experienced that? A lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. If you're in the middle of that season, it's okay. What happened is you started using a muscle spiritually called faith, and now all of a sudden it hurts. Now you're believing God for something. You're going, wow, I've got to have faith. I've got to pray. I've got to read the Bible. I've got to go to church. Now all of a sudden my car's broke down. There's no money in the bank. My boss is mad at me. My wife and kids are doing something. What has gone wrong? Well, listen, I got a word from God for you. Stay in there. Endure. It's going to get better because you're going to exercise that muscle of faith and you're going to be able to handle it. You're going to be able to grow into this thing. But that doesn't mean that you can just sit back on the couch with the remote control and expect that one day you're going to get up and go lift that 1,000-pound weight. No, you're going to walk out there and you're going to break something if you try doing that. But you start with the small challenges of faith. Start where your level of faith is at. The Bible says God has dealt each one the measure of faith. We have a measure of faith that comes into us. And we can believe God for more grace, more ability to do what God has called us to do. And start with those little challenges. Start with those little things. And then increase as time goes on. You look back after 15 years, back after 20 years, back after 30 years, whatever it may be, and you'll see the postmarks, you'll see those road marks down the way, and you'll see, remember when we were believing God for this little car? Man, look at what God did. Look at where God's brought. Remember when we were living in the shack? Man, we couldn't even afford to scrape together 2 pennies to rub together for some warmth. Man, now look at the abundance that God has for us. Look at what God has done. Look at where he's brought us. My wife and I love to sometimes reminisce and tell stories about the days when, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. We had this assignment in Bible college right out of budget. We wrote out a budget and we found out that we were in the negative. We looked at each other and we said, this can't be right. Every bill is paid. Everything's okay. No creditors coming after us. We said, we must have made a mistake. Let's go back through and do it again. We did it all again and we were still in the negative. We looked at each other, we shrugged our shoulders and said, well, you know what? It's a walk of faith. Now we're so blessed, I can't tell you, God has just done some amazing things in our life. But we love to look back on those road marks of faith when we look at what God has done. And so now the challenges we're facing, if we would have faced back then, we would have fell apart. We would have crumbled under that pressure. But now we look back as that is a pillar of strength. Man, that was like the first time I lifted 100 pounds. Bam! Got it up. There it was. And that gave us some endurance to go on to the next level. Here's 200 pounds. Bam! There it is. Going on to the next level of faith, to now we're lifting and we're seeing what God is doing in our lives and we're encouraged. Why? Because we're able to prepare for the greater challenges. Turn with me to the book of James. You're there in Hebrews, just one book back, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to take a look at verse 2 through 4. James chapter 1 and verse number 2, starting out, says this. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, get happy. Put a smile on your face. Why? Verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see that word patience? That means endurance. It produces that enduring power, that stick-to-itive power. It produces that staying under power. The testing of your faith. Every time you go through a faith trial, every time you go through some sort of persecution, every time you go through a hardship, what is that doing? That is flexing your spiritual muscle, and you are testing your faith. You're getting ready for something greater. Verse number 4 says this, but let patience have its perfect work. What does that mean? That means don't give up in the middle of the set. That means that if you're lifting that bar and you're raising it up, don't get it halfway up and then stop. I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too much weight. Listen, that bar is going to come back down on you. You have to stick to it and stay with it. Let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, God's desire is for us to be complete. God wants to make us a complete church. He wants to fully equip us for every good work. God has prepared things for us to do. God has prepared good works, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, for us to walk in. God's got it all laid out. Now listen, if God wants us to do good works, God's not going to leave us alone without the tools that we need to complete the job that he's called us to do. That means if God has called you to paint a wall, he's going to give you a brush and a can of paint. In the same way, in the good works that God has called us to do, in the walk that God has called us to walk, the plans that he has for us, plans for good and not of evil, plans to give us a future and a hope, that means that the plans that God has laid out for our life, that what God is calling us to do, God will also equip us to do. And a lot of times we say, you know what, I see where I'm going, but I don't see how I'm going to get there. But it's that endurance, it's that sticking in there, it's that preparing, it's that preparation, it's that trial time, it's that pressure, it's that heat of the moment when you're on your knees before God day and night. It's when you're sweating it out in prayer. It's when you're coming before the Lord, pouring it out before him. That's why I love our Sunday nights. I see people up here every week praying for things. And I love it when people come to me afterwards and they tell me, Pastor Dan, I got breakthrough tonight. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it is coming. Why? Because they were just exercising. They just had a breakthrough in their prayer life. And now they know that they're going to go out into their world. They're going to go into their homes. They're going to go into their businesses. They're going to go into their families and into the highways and byways of San Bernardino and all over the Inland Empire. And they have something coming to them, the reward that they were looking for of their faith, if they stay in there with God. Are you guys getting this tonight? Hallelujah. First thing tonight is to remove hindrances. Second thing is prepare for greater challenges. Final thing that I want to take a look at tonight is to stay in faith. Stay in faith. What do I mean by stay in faith? Sometimes we can pray, we can ask God for something, and then we walk away from our prayer closet or we walk away from that place, and we don't stay in faith about it. We don't keep it going. We don't keep declaring the promise of God. It's almost as if we kind of leave it there with God, and then we walk away from it, and maybe every now and then we'll take a look back to see if it's there yet. And you heard this, the phrase, a watch pot never boils. Why? Because you're waiting on it. It feels like it's forever. You're sitting there and the anticipation is building up. But listen, if you were to treat your prayers like a watched pot, you would never get anything. Because that watch pot, if you saw that it wasn't boiling after a couple minutes and you turned it off, and then you turned it back on and you watched it, and then you turned it off when it wasn't boiling, and then you turned it back on, and then you turned it off, do you think that that pot is going to ever boil? No, absolutely not. You're not going to get anything out of it. The pot only boils when you turn the heat on and you allow that heat and that temperature to rise to the point where it hits that 212 degrees and it starts to boil at that point. In the same way, we have to allow our faith to continue. We have to allow that enduring. We have to stay up under that pressure. We have to allow that test and that trial to continue on, and we have to let patience have its perfect work so that we may be complete and lacking nothing. I like how Brother Hagin used to say it. He would say, keep the switch of faith turned on. A lot of times when he would pray for people in healing crusades, he had a wonderful healing ministry, taught faith and prayer and healing. And so he would pray for people. And in those prayer lines, oftentimes if you read any of his books or you know anything, you've heard any of his stories, he'll tell the people afterwards, after he prays, he says, "Now I just prayed for you. You received the healing power of God, but I want you to keep the switch of faith turned on." And he would go on to explain to them what that means. That means that when you walk out of this place, you may not see the healing right away. When you walk out of this place, you may not see the answer to your prayer right away, but I want you to continue to declare the word of God over it. Keep the switch of faith turned on. And as you do that, watch and see what happens. And he was criticized for being insensitive. Sometimes people would say, "Well, he just prayed one time and that was it." Well, he kept the switch of faith turned on. He believed he received it, and then he would keep the switch of faith turned on. In the same way, you and I, when we pray, when we're believing God for something, when we have a trial in our life, when we're going through something, through hard times, if we endure in faith and stay in faith, keep that switch turned on, keep that heat of our faith lit up, then eventually we're going to reach the temperature that we need to reach. We're going to receive the promise. You're there in James chapter 1. Take a look at, we were there and read through verse 4. Take a look at verse 5 through 8. It says, "If any of you lacks," remember we just talked about being complete and lacking nothing. And he says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse number 6, "But let him ask" how? "In faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Let me give you a picture of that. You guys have all been to the sea. Maybe you've been to the seashore. You've seen the waves coming in and going out, and coming in and going out, and day and night, every day in and out, in and out. What is the Bible telling us? It's saying that if we ask in faith and then go to doubt and then get back in faith and then go back to doubt, that we should think that we will receive nothing from God. Why? Because the switch of faith is not turned on. We're turning the light on, turning the light off, turning the light on, turning the light off, turning the heat on, turning the heat off. We're never going to get what we want. You've got to stay in faith. Verse number 7, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Why? Verse 8, "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." What is the double mind? One of your mind is in faith, one of your mind is in fear. One of your mind is in belief, one of your mind is in doubt. That is a double mind. And if you've got a double mind, the Bible says, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. But if you can keep the switch of faith turned on, then you can have a confident expectation of the future. You can declare the promises of God over your situation. Maybe your kids have gone south. Stay in there with the switch of faith turned on. Right in the face of circumstances, declare the promises of God that even though they should wander, that they will return from their land of captivity. Right in the face of those circumstances, declare the promises of God over them that if they are raised up in the ways of the Lord, that even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Maybe you're struggling financially. Find yourself a promise of God to keep the switch of faith turned on. And when you see that declining check register, you see that declining bank account, you log on, or maybe you go down to the bank and you see how little is in there. Right in the face of that circumstance, declare the promises of God. Turn the switch of faith on and declare it right over that and say, even though that number says that, the Bible says God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto me. And I'm seeking first the kingdom. I'm not seeking my bank account. I'm not seeking a statement. I'm not seeking a number. I'm seeking God. And keep that switch of faith turned on, and you can have a confident expectation and a hope for the future of what God is going to bring into your life. I like how Pastor Jim said it this weekend. He said, it's not how good you run, but it's how you finish. You've got to stay up under this. You've got to finish the race well. You have to endure. Just like we started out tonight, you have need of endurance. There's a great story that I read today on about a runner. His name was Eamon Coughlin. He was an Irish world record holder for the 1500 meter. And he was running in the qualifying heat in 1987 for the World Indoor Track Championships in Indianapolis. With 2.5 last lap, He was tripped, so he only had 2.5 laps to go, and he tripped. He fell, but he got up, and with a great effort, he managed to catch up to the leaders. Now, this is an incredible feat for somebody who's fallen in such a short race to be able to get back up and catch up to the leaders. Now, listen to this. With only 20 yards left in the race, he was in third place. That's incredible. So that means he could have qualified at that point with a third place. He could have qualified for the final race. And it says, he looked over his shoulder to the inside, and seeing no one, he let up. He looked over to one side, he didn't see anyone there, and he started to run a little bit slower. Kind of let up from his race, kind of let up from how fast he was running. But another runner, charging on the other hand, outside, passed Coghlan a yard before the finish line, thus eliminating him from the finals. His great comeback effort was rendered worthless by taking his eyes off of the finish line. You and I, even though we may fall, get back up, fall, get back up. Listen, I don't want you to walk out of this place tonight feeling condemned that you have had the switch of faith turned off. Turn it back on. Turn the heat up. Do what it takes. Get yourself a promise from the Word of God. Find a scripture that deals with your situation. Pray the prayers that you need to pray. Do your business with God. Do what you need to do. Turn that switch of faith back on. And don't walk out of here condemned, because it's not about how you run the race. It's how you finish. I want you to remember something. The Bible gives us a beautiful illustration of Abraham and Sarah. Here are two people who are believing God for a decade for a child. And God comes a year before the promise, and what happens? They laugh. Right? You remember Abraham laughed? Remember Sarah laughed? Both of them laughed, and it was such a significant thing that Isaac's name means laughter. Okay? Everybody knows Isaac, his name means laughter. Why? Because both of his parents, when they heard the promise of God, they laughed. They said, well, oh my goodness, is this really going to happen? But when you read in the Bible, you read in the book of Romans chapter 4, you don't find the Bible saying Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed at the promise. You know what you find? You find that they were not wavering in faith. Heaven does not record when we've got the switch turned off. Heaven records on the other side that we were unwavering in faith, that we stayed it out, that we stuck it out, and that as we endured and we stayed in there to the end, that we were able to receive the promise of God. Just as Abraham and Sarah received the promised child, Isaac, you and I can receive the promises that God has for us as we endure and as we stay in faith. Can you say amen? I want to close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'll just put it up on the overhead for you. It says this. This is Paul after the end of his life. He's writing his closing statements to Timothy, and he says this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Listen, church, tonight, whatever it is your situation that you're going through, doesn't matter if you've lapsed, doesn't matter if you've fallen down, maybe under the pressure you've buckled, doesn't matter. What matters is that you get back up and that you endure with the power that God has for you. What do you got to do? Three things tonight. Some practical things as well, some spiritual things. Number one is that you got to lay aside every hindrance. Man, get rid of the sin. If there's sin in your life, deal with it. Repent of it and take the measures that you need to get away from that sin. Second thing is you got to prepare for greater challenges. You start with those little challenges and, oh man, it hurts. My goodness, you may have never trusted God in an area, but you decide, you know what, I'm going to take a step of faith here. And it takes everything you have to take that first step. But you know what, the second step is easier, and the third step is greater, and pretty soon you're running with God. And you look back down the road, and you say, wow, God, look how far we've come. And the third thing tonight is to stay in faith. If you've turned the heat off, turn the heat back on, man. Put some pressure on your circumstances. Put some pressure on the devil. Resist him, the Bible says, and he will flee. Let's take a look back at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36 tonight. Book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36 says these words. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. If you got something from the word of the Lord tonight, come on, let's give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.